I was scared to open my mouth. I had no idea what might come out of it. I didn't like to talk to people, any people, about my life, especially not sheriff kind of people. So, Sheriff Ransom looked from Cookie to me, then back again. Your name is really Cupcake. Is that your real name? Yes, that's my real name. Cupcake and Cookie, he said. Your names are Cupcake and Cookie. Yes, I said, we're twins. He did that thing where his eyes went from one of us to the other again. Twins, he said in a tone that suggested he was trying to convince himself of it. He shook his head. Twins. Then he looked back down at his paperwork. And you're Mr. Makahi's next of kin. Great nieces. What about your mother? Killed in an accident, I said. I'm sorry to hear that. What accident? Cookie sniffled. She was hit by a truck. For a second, I thought I saw real understanding in his face. I really am sorry, he said. How long ago? A couple of years. I glanced at Cookie. The very topic was apt to send her into depression. Our mother had been hit on a Wednesday, which was ironic, because that was the day her snack cake coupons arrived. She was crossing the road to check the mailbox when it happened. She was hit by a snack cake truck. The really horrible thing was that when that truck hit Mama, the back doors flew open and snack cakes fell out. And there she was in the middle of the two-lane road with hundreds of cream-filled treats all around her and on top of her. To me, that was a cruel way for her to die. She had been a beautiful person, and I felt the universe or some force out there had some sadistic sense of humor. I could feel the sweat on my forehead, and I knew that I had to be careful to keep Cookie from dwelling on it too much. Had to end the conversation about Mama. She was a good person, I said. She'd be here herself for Uncle Fawcett if she could. But we're here. The sheriff nodded. I understand. I watched him scrawling something on that paper of his. I noticed that he was left-handed. He wore a simple gold wedding band and a stretch man watch. Watching him fill out all the legal stuff made me more nervous. My hands were trembling and I couldn't hold my feet still or keep my legs from shaking. I wanted to take my uncle and my sister back home where they would be safe so our lives could go back to normal. I took my eyes off the sheriff. Yes, watching him did make me more nervous. I would concentrate on something else. I fidgeted with the frayed edges of my jean shorts and tried to think about what I would fix Bob for supper. The scrawling stopped. Ladies, I can set your uncle's bail for you. But he will have to be kept under close watch 24/7. I don't know how prepared you are for that. I have a friend who runs a home for the elderly and the incapacitated right here in town. They have a competent staff and a psychiatrist to analyze him. If you're interested, I can give you the phone number. I couldn't bear to put him in a home, Cookie said. I know, it's not an easy decision, he said. But if my guess is right, you'll soon find that his condition will get worse and worse until he forgets how to go to the bathroom or even swallow a meal. Anyway, if he wanders into town again, he could get hurt or worse. We want to take him home, I said. He nodded. All right, but I don't think it's a good idea. We arranged my great uncle's bail, and then the sheriff led us to the door and out into the hall. I'll walk you over to the jail, he said. Excuse me for a minute, Cookie said. I've got to go to the bathroom first. Right up those stairs, the sheriff nodded to the winding flight of stairs across the hall. First door on the right. Cookie held out her enormous purse to me. Hold my purse so I can put both hands on the rails. I took the purse and watched my sister struggling up those stairs, huffing for air and gripping the rail. I wished I could magically wave my finger or wiggle my nose and make 250 pounds disappear off her body. When she was gone from sight, I said, "Cookie has to pee every time she gets nervous." "It's understandable," he said. "So what's with the pickles?" Then I realized I was standing there with a purse on each shoulder, hugging that jar of pickles to my stomach like my life depended on them. I looked over at Sheriff Ransom in his crisp, clean uniform. It wasn't like I was trying to impress him or anything. I had been married for 18 years, so why should I care what some male model of a sheriff, who probably never cut a tobacco stalk in his life, thought about me? I looked down at my dingy old tennis shoes. Once they had been white. Now they were some odd shade of gray with brown blotches. My toe peeped out of the left shoe. "We were canning when you called." I had them in my hand and ran out without thinking. I was so worried about Uncle Fawcett that I didn't realize I was still holding them until I got here. "You make pickles? You can them yourself?" I nodded. "Dill, bread and butter, sweet pickles. We can all sorts of stuff." "How much would you take for them?" "You want to buy my pickles?" "I have an aunt that would appreciate them. She used to can a lot, but since my uncle died and she lives alone, she doesn't have much heart to do it. But I know she'd appreciate those." "Your wife doesn't can?" "I'm afraid not," he said. So, his wife didn't can. I wondered what she was like. I tried to imagine her in my mind. I imagined him as being married to the soccer mom type with a minivan or an SUV, with shopping bags, hair appointments, perfect teeth, and a cell phone permanently attached to her ear. She probably owned a tanning bed and had 50 pairs of shoes. I doubted any of them were dingy old things with holes in the toes. Maybe she even belonged to a gym and stayed in shape. She had to be gorgeous to be married to him. I wondered if she went to the nail salon. "Well, here," I handed him the jar. "You can have them, no charge." "Thank you," he smiled. "Your husband must feel very lucky." I shrugged. "He doesn't even like pickles." I crossed my arms to hide my nails. I had never even seen the inside of a nail salon. My nails were short and stained from canning. "Too bad," he said. "So what does your husband do for a living?" Why was this guy so nosy, I wondered. For that matter, why had everyone always been so nosy? I had spent the better part of my life trying to avoid questions. Bob had always told me not to trust anyone. "Why do you ask?" I said. He shrugged. "Just making small talk." He works for the Happy Feathers Chicken Company. Even as I said it, I thought how ironic it was that Uncle Fawcett loved birds and Bob worked for a company that killed birds. "And your wife? What does she do?"